little bit. Not, it's being Xeroxed, I think, right now. And what we wanted to do is, again, sort of what we did on Monday, is go through items that the House has not heard that much of, and or that in some cases we have disagreed with, and hear testimony from the public on a number of these items. And the first one we want to hear is some testimony on birthing centers. And I believe there's somebody here that...
We're looking for that. Explain what the provision is. Yeah. She was waiting down here for a long time. She might have stepped up.
Okay, do you want to...
Shannon, do you want to go out in the hall and see if she's out there? She's getting her phone number. After a second.
This is...
Okay.
House research.
Yeah, that's this one here.
House research.
Here's Maria.
Maybe we could have a Senate staff explain the not the right ones, huh?
I'm here.
Explain what? Birthing centers?
We got Maria. They want to testify.
Oh, gosh. What are they looking for?
No, you're kidding me, right?
No.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe while we're waiting, we did hand out to the members of the conference committee yesterday a report that had been published by the Milbank Fund, and we had... And we had tabbed certain parts of the report that deal with birthing centers. And this is a report that talks about evidence-based birthing. This is not original research. They have relied on a lot of research that's been done by others. And the report indicated that, really, in so many words, that we really over-medicalized the process of normal childbirth, and that oftentimes, a majority of the time, women receive services that they never wanted to receive. And it's just an automatic thing that happens because you're in a hospital, and doctors are used to doing a lot of things when they're in a hospital setting that might not be needed. And there's some parts of the report that even go on to say that you can over-medicalize the normal delivery of a birth to the point where it interferes with the other normal physiological processes that a woman goes through. For instance, you can do enough things that interrupt that process that the woman may not be able to breastfeed her child. And you can interrupt other normal processes that help her in the delivery of the child. And I was especially impressed with the report that they refer to about improved outcomes, especially for inner-city women delivering babies. And we know that this is a problem area for our populations. We don't get as good of outcomes as we could. Low birth weight, babies being born is one problem. Increasing cesarean section rates within our programs is another problem. And so I was as interested in this report about the outcomes as I was about the savings. There are savings to be had. I mean, clearly the report shows that the more you progress down the scale of getting more and more things being done to people, the higher the costs are. So I really encourage you to look in more detail at that report. The organization is very much known for being an evidence-based healthcare organization, and would not publish something like this if they had not found significant research to show that what they were saying was true.
Madam Chair.
Representative Abler.
Representative, help me. Madam Chair, since we're a little lull here, just to piggyback on your point, our sixth son was born at St. Joe's the day I got sworn in 1999. And he got sworn in at noon, and Judson came at 5:40. But just we had a nurse midwife, and it was mostly great. And I had her home on the couch by 10:30, which was her desire. And we didn't want Pitocin, and the nurse was very helpful in running interference. The nurse midwife wanted that, and we said, no, we're not doing Pitocin. And so the nurse, being kind of a political nurse, says, let's just draw it up just so it's there. And so it was drawn up laying there, my wife was not going to have it on her sixth birth. And so, but that was an example where, because of the desire of the clinician, we would have been forced into that whole another track, which me being the caveman at that point, we just kind of protected her from the Pitocin. And I'm sure it was on our bill, too. Just even that little draw, I don't know what it even costs. I have no idea what's in the bill. But once you start going down that road, it could have lent itself to complications we didn't want. So I appreciate the thought of what you're saying. And only having been the observer six times, my wife knows what she wants when she has her birth thing. And the first time we had no idea, but the second, third, fourth, sixth one, she kind of had an idea where she wanted to go with this. And so, it's to your point, you know, just it's not a disease. And she just wanted a chance to give her birth in a safe place and then go home. So thank you.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Abler, I know I only have had one birthing experience, and I was very clear that I wanted a completely natural birth, but there were things done that, and they don't ask you, they just do them and tell you what's happening afterwards and say, what are you doing? Oh, it's all done. It's all over with. And, you know, it was something you didn't want, but you got it anyway.
Well, we have some people here to testify, it looks like, and would you identify yourself when you talk for the tape and give us your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Susan Lane. I am the coordinator for the Minnesota Better Birth Coalition. We're a coalition of 11 organizations representing about 1,000 members and serving many thousands of birthing women each year. Our mission statement, our whole reason for being, is to educate about and promote the findings of the Milbank Report and the Reform State Group report on better birth. So I'm here basically to answer any questions, but in regard to birth centers, I would like to defer to my comrade here, Paula.
And
welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Paula Bernini-Feigl. I'm a midwife, and I'm a director of Morningstar Women's Health and Birth Center. It's a freestanding birth center. I've been a midwife for 15 years, and I live what the Milbank Report talks about as far as high-quality, low-cost maternity care with excellent outcomes. So having experience operating a birth center and practicing out-of-hospital deliveries, I can tell you and assure you that birth can cost less, and we can have better outcomes. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. I've read this, I've read the bill, and I support the bill the way that it's written. There might be some questions regarding the dollar amount, and yes, I know it seems like to some that's going to be a drastic reduction and maybe imposing some perceived unfair caps, but birth doesn't have to cost what it's costing today. The cuts need to be made, the financial cuts.
And I think I would emphasize that the way to save money goes to changes in practice. And I recognize the difficulty for legislators in trying to determine how that can work. I, too, am a layperson. I'm not a medically trained person. I'm a doula, a childbirth educator, and I am a lactation counselor now, so I've had a lot of training. I read research articles at the rate of 3 to 5 a day. I've been doing that for the last 10 years since graduate school. These are very complicated issues. To save money, you do have to change practice, but I think that this bill provides an incentive to do both. It is a good roadmap. It is consistent with all of the best evidence that's out there, not only from the Reform State Group, but globally. It's consistent with the findings of the Cochrane database, which is the sort of gold standard of research in maternity care. So I hope you give this very serious consideration. This is a doable bill. It's a great start, and we could move forward with this.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make one more comment regarding the model of care that's practiced in birth centers. And this is a low-intervention approach to labor and delivery, recognizing that most women can have a healthy pregnancy with the proper prenatal education and prenatal care. And most women approach labor and delivery low risk. Those that are not low risk are not good candidates for birth center care. They need to be identified and referred for hospital-based care in a timely fashion. So the overwhelming majority of women, however, are going to remain low risk, and they are cared for in such a way not to introduce risk by not doing, as Senator Berglund pointed out, by not taking unnecessary steps and in increasing interventions. When we start to go down the road of interventions, then it cascades into full intervention. So the birth center is the optimal place for the care of low-risk women who want and need to be there.
Senator Berglund, you
had. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to thank these folks for being here because, you know, every time we've asked them to come, they've come, and they're not paid lobbyists. They have other jobs that they need to do and occasionally are in the middle of doing that whenever we've called them. So I just want to thank them for their ability to hang in there with us on this issue.
I just have a few questions. First one is should these facilities be located attached to a hospital or can they be at some distance from the hospital? That's one of my concerns.
The freestanding birth center, by its name, is freestanding. So ideally, a freestanding birth center would not be in a hospital complex. They can be, however, attached to hospitals. The American Association of Birth Centers has some guidelines for how to create the true freestanding birth center, even if it's attached to a hospital or within a hospital complex. There are some real specific guidelines for how that can be accomplished.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, one of the standards for licensing in the bill does require that the facility be located within 30 minutes of a hospital facility in case there would be the need for a transport to be made.
Okay, Representative Abler.
Well, thank you, Mr. I don't know how much time you're planning on this topic, but I just have a couple of questions. And, you know, most of us at this table have been part of the health reform thing, and it's been about better quality. And I've always liked the quality part. And from my practice world, the quality I provide actually generates lower cost to the system, and they happen to do better. And this time for high cost, high quality, and I'm glad the word quality is always there. You know, I'm sensitive in all the proposals of all three of them, frankly, that have been brought forward to the governor, the House, and the Senate about the hospital impacts and all that. But it seems to me every time you pay a hospital a dollar in medical assistance money, they're losing money on their services because it's below the cost of what it costs. And I'm talking to my Alliance administrator up in Mercy in Coon Rapids. He says that the bricks and mortar cost about 7 or 8%, and the rest of it is staff. And I know some hospitals are challenged with their staffing now, and they're having to make some layoffs, which I don't like either. But it seems as we try to get our hands around the cost of care and how it affects business and jobs and all that, that when we pay for things that are necessary and good, and the best way, that the health system will right-size itself in terms of who they need to work with. And to keep on paying, if we would just keep on paying for a hospital to do a birth because it kept the hospital in business and didn't provide the best outcome to the woman, that would not be what we've been setting out to do. And I hope, I don't know what bill we wind up passing out of here, but in terms of the concept, what I tried to bring forward in my bill, which is still sitting in the Health Finance Committee in the House, and Representative Rood with her work, which is sitting next to mine maybe, safely there, and kind of the womb of the Health Finance Committee, waiting for the right day. But I think as we move into this thing and try to make a real difference, there's elements of the proposal which I think we can't ignore. And the work of these women here, and as I've been a part of that community for 20, watching my kids get born, five of whom were at home, safely done, and looking at the outcomes across the world, where the best outcomes in the world, where they do more focusing on the normality of birth and less about the disease of birth.
Yes, that's right.
And so I'm not lobbying for any provision, but I conceptually, these women are right. And women they've helped to avoid higher costs and Pitocin sitting on the table and C-sections and episiotomies and all those things that weren't necessary, had they just left them a little more time, a little less intensity. At the end of the day, it goes back to employee wages, because the employee wages come out to pay the insurance premiums that the employer pays. And so it goes back to the consumer in another way. So anyway, just a thought, but I appreciate them coming. They've been just great witnesses every time they showed up. So thank you.
Other questions for Senator Berglund?
Mr. Chairman, I just have one other comment, and that is, as I visited with people in my district throughout this session, I've talked about this, and actually the conversation started when some women came to my office from a natural health center in my district asking about what we could do to provide more encouragement for birthing centers. And we also have had conversations with another community clinic that's starting up in my district that's especially aiming their audience at the Somali community. And what they've said to me is that women of color, and especially our new citizens, they don't view birthing the way we in this country have viewed it for centuries at all. They don't understand why you have to go to a doctor all the time you're not sick. And so they don't go. But they do understand talking to a doula. They relate to that experience. That's more like what happens where they come from when women are pregnant. And so they do keep those appointments, and they do follow through with the advice that they're given. And since we do have more and more of those folks to think about in terms of the outcomes that we get, I just wanted to mention that that's the kind of feedback I've been getting from those who are trying to serve that community.
Senator Berglund, may I make a comment? About 1 week ago, Morningstar initiated a survey to Minnesota residents inquiring about their interest in a freestanding birth center. And quickly, over 400 people responded with their comments. And overwhelmingly, people are clamoring for a freestanding birth center. They know it costs less. They know the outcomes are better. And people know about birth centers, and it's what they're asking for as well. And it's been pretty amazing to read their comments.
Senator Solon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a few questions. I don't have any objection to a birthing center. I think that for many, that's a choice that they would prefer to have. My question is that our legislation, though, only requires the HMO or the county-based purchasing to contract with a facility within their catchment area. Is that correct? Does not require a person to have to use the birthing center, or does it?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pretner-Solon, if you want to read the bill, it says that it would be written into the contract that it would be the preferred means of providing services. It's a preferred, it would be written into the contract that the state would have with the health plans that it would be the preferred means of providing the service in the case of a normal delivery.
Right.
Senator Solon.
So, Ms.
They must contract with or create centers in order to be able to meet that requirement.
So, Mr. Senator Chair, Solon. Senator Berglund, there would be a, they'd have to prior authorize a berth in a different facility or I mean, what does preferred method mean?
Well, it means that they would, Mr. Chairman, it means that they would be expected to be using these facilities as much as possible. It doesn't mean that there might not be an incident in the state of Minnesota where there is a birth that is needed that can't be delivered in a birthing center because of the 30-mile requirement. But normally, in those areas of the state, the birth would take place in a hospital. So if they can get to the hospital, you know, getting to a birthing center should not be a problem. And then the payment is structured in a way to incent the health plans to use birthing centers for normal deliveries. And my way of looking at it is, you know, we have to make some budget cuts here. If we can get a better outcome at a lower cost, and if we can provide hospitals an opportunity to participate in this too, they can create birthing centers, and they will have lower costs then, rather than just cutting a rate and making them do something that costs more and we pay them less. We would give them the opportunity to do something and pay them what it costs, and it costs less. And it seems to me, of the choices, that that is a preferable choice.
Okay, any further questions for the two people that have testified? There are other people that I'm going to call up, so thank you for coming.
Mr. Chairman, we'd like to thank you, too, and all of the members of this committee and the legislature for the enormous amount of support and help we've gotten. We are equally grateful for this hearing.
Thank you. Is there somebody here from the Department of Human Services and want to know if they have a position on this?
There he is.
Welcome to the committee, Dr. Schiff.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, I'm Jeff Schiff from the Department of Human Services. We have analyzed this and have a few just comments or concerns about this. We certainly support Senator Berglund's comments about birth being a physiologic process and support the decreased medicalization of it. The bill as written asks for a few things. It asks for HMOs to either contract with a birthing center or to create one, and I don't believe that in our past contracting with the managed care organizations, we've asked them to actually create a service. The other issue that gets into one of access, and that is if the rate as
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Dr. Schiff, isn't it true last session we asked them to create medical homes?
We have asked provider, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, we have asked the provider organizations to create medical homes. But
well, Mr. Chairman and Dr. Schiff, wasn't the idea that the health plans would be preferring to work with medical homes and that they were to encourage their providers to create them?
Dr. Schiff.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, that's absolutely true.
Thank you.
Well, continue with.
The issues the department is concerned about are those of access to these centers, in that the bill as it's written creates the same birthing rate for hospitals and birthing centers. And the issue will be about whether or not there is enough access at that lower rate for all the births in the public programs.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Dr. Schiff, the latest version of the bill does not have an equal rate.
Okay. I apologize for not knowing that.
Did you have further?
No, I have no further comments.
Any questions for Dr. Schiff?
Six.
Thank you for your testimony. Does the anybody here from the MMA?
Mr. Chair, members, Dave Renner with the Minnesota Medical Association. I appreciate the chance to get some comments. My reading of the legislation, I think what you have before you are three separate issues that you're dealing with. One is the concept of should we be licensing birthing centers? And we're not necessarily opposed to that idea if it's done for the right reasons, if it's done for quality, to provide options. So that's one separate issue you're dealing with. The second issue you're dealing with, I would argue, is kind of a presumption of where births, a normal birth, a low-risk birth would be, a woman would have the birth. And we do have concerns if we're starting to make a presumption to that we will use birthing centers over other types of facilities or hospitals. Most of the evidence that you look at does show that those who've used birthing centers, those who've used non-hospital births have good outcomes. I would argue that's because those are choices that woman has made. And generally, the women who have made those choices are fully engaged in their decision-making and are educated on what they want from this birth. If we now start having a presumption that most women will be getting birth here, our fear is that we won't have as engaged patients, and there may be some who are now having births in these centers that may need additional services. So that's the second issue I would raise. The third issue is the issue of payment rate. And again, that plays into the presumption somewhat. And that's an issue maybe I'll let the Hospitals Association speak more to. But we do have concerns when we are setting payment rates in statute that may not be covering costs. Physicians are trying to do the best that they can provide the services that a patient wants. Most physicians in the area of birth are trying to provide the services, again, based on the preferences of the woman. We have concerns, however, when you start talking about normal births or low-risk births, what may be a normal birth up until the time, what is perceived to be a normal birth up until the time of the birth may not become a normal birth. And even the requirement that you be within 30 miles of a or 30 minutes of a hospital is a long time if all of a sudden a normal birth is no longer normal. So from a clinical point of view, we think there is advantages of having these if they are separate from a hospital, very close to a hospital. And we would prefer, we think right now many of the hospitals have moved to some forms of birthing centers but within the hospital settings. So those are my comments, Mr. Chairman, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Renner, I guess what I would say is that women who are not willing to be engaged in working with their providers in regard to the care they need before delivery would not be considered low-risk women.
Mr. Renner.
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, I would agree with you if it's a situation where a woman's not getting prenatal care and the services necessary. I still think, again, and I'm not a clinician, but when I talk to those who are, there is a difference between a woman who is somewhat engaged and a woman who is fully engaged in that process. And again, I think if a woman has made the decision on her part that she wants to go through a birthing center, I think by definition almost you will get a better outcome in that situation than if it's one where the presumption is now that everybody that's considered a low risk or normal birth would now be through a birthing center.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Renner, one of the beauties of birthing centers is they do get women engaged at a much higher rate than our normal process does.
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, and we think that is a positive. We think that the more we can engage, an engaged patient is always a better patient, regardless of what the procedure and what the services are.
Okay. Unfortunately, some of us have to run upstairs to vote on Representative Thiessen's bill, so and he has it could be 45 minutes, probably.
We're under call, so we will be probably 45 minutes.
Okay, good. So we'll recess for hopefully 45 minutes.
Those Thiessen got it. Oh.